light winds becoming easterly 10 to 20 later today. Brainerd and Bemidji folks are going to have rain with about a 60% chance of that happening throughout the day. Highs in the mid to the upper 50s with east winds at 10 to 20. Southern Itasca, Grand Rapids, and Aiken are going to have partly cloudy skies, about a 20% chance of rain, and that's about what it looks like outside. Highs should be 57 to 62, east winds 10 to 20 miles an hour today. Tonight, cloudy, lows 35 to 40, a little bit warmer in Brainerd with a 20% chance of rain across the listening area. Friday's going to bring us cloudy skies, 20% chance of rain again, highs 48 to 55, and northeast winds at 10 to 15.
And Saturday, 30 to 50% chance for rain. It's probably going to be kind of windy. North winds 10 to 20 and highs in the 40s. If you're a waterfowl hunter, that's probably music to your ears. The temperatures, we've got 36 degrees in Black Duck this hour. And the further north you go, kind of the cooler it is and the sunnier it is as well. And rain reported this hour in Cross Lake, 44 degrees. There. In fact, we're seeing on our radar rain in southern Cass and most of Crow Wing County now. Mostly light rain. Reported none of those red splotches of heavier rain or thunderstorms. And most of us, temperatures are in the low to mid 40s around the KXE listening area if you're not up on the range and in the far north. And our winds this morning, boy, they've been shifting around all morning, Chad, from the southeast, now from the west, and it's hard to predict what
the winds
are like. Yeah,
but it's blowing pretty good, though. I can see the trees whipping around out there.
Yeah. Up next, it's the sports page on KAXE. The sports page is the only place to go when a fellow wants to know the score.
And are you going to sing that for us?
Well, you know what? I may have to because we're in a different studio this morning, and I really always had a rule. You can't do the program without the theme song, and
yeah. And
we'll see if we can find
it. We can maybe hum it.
We can hum it. I think we can play it. I think I found it.
All right.
Ready?
I'm anticipating it.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
All right, it's time for another edition of the sports page. Thanks for listening. We're going to be talking about the fate of those twins a little bit later in this program with Fred Friedman, who will join us, and I'm sure Fred will have a few thoughts on the, is he lucky or is he good, Brett Favre? I don't know.
He's more than lucky.
He's more than lucky, but...
Yeah.
But let's talk with a real athlete now, okay?
Right, one who actually works.
Yeah, Melissa Powers is in our studios, and two Saturdays ago, on September 19th, she participated in her third inline marathon.
That's right.
And this is kind of the inline skating version of Grandma's Marathon. They have it in September for quite a while now. This is your third one, huh?
It's the third one.
I think people who aren't in triathlons and these big road races and in events like yours probably aren't aware that it's not just about the physical exertion and the skill of your ability to skate. But you're dealing with hundreds and sometimes thousands of people at the start and things. So what was it like at the beginning?
Well, at the start line, it's not a mass start like most running races are.
Is that because it's too dangerous, you think?
I think so, yeah. Because rather than a runner that takes up just their space, the pros are taking up an entire lane width of road as they skate along. So those about 150 of the pros.
The elites take off first.
Yeah, they take off first. They start those guys at 7:30. In just little tiny waves.
Is that in Two Harbors as well?
Yeah. Okay. It starts a little bit before where Grandma starts because we, rather than going through town, we take the freeway when we get
Duluth.
And
it's safer, I think.
A lot of the surface streets are brick now in Duluth, and you really can't skate very well on bricks.
You need a mouth guard to go over those bricks, yeah. So what was your race like? What was your ride like?
Well, my ride was pretty good this year. Really nice weather for it. It was absolutely gorgeous. And a friend of mine from college, who is actually quite a bit faster than I am, gave me a call the day before the race and said, I'm tired of skating alone. Can I come back and skate with you? He was, I think, scheduled to be in the second wave. I was back in the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
So he just said, oh, come back to the eighth wave and skate with you. So I actually had somebody with me this time instead of being on my own.
It's 26 miles.
26.2 miles.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was so enthused about it, I finished twice.
So how'd you do that?
Well, everybody has a little timing chip tied to their skate somewhere that marks you when you cross the start line and when you cross the finish line, so that everybody has their exact time rather than just saying, okay, here's the starting gun, and when you cross the finish line, that's your time. So I had my timing chip tied onto my skate, and about 350 meters short of the finish line, I don't know if I placed a skate wrong or got out of rhythm, but I crashed.
Ouch.
I went down and hopped right back up, said, okay, let's get out of here, let's finish the race. And my friend said, I think I saw something come off of your pack, because I had a Camelback.
Mm-hmm. Which has your...
For water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I said, I don't care, I'll come back for it. We got across the finish line, he looked down, he said, where's your timing chip?
Oh.
That's what had gone skittering off to the gutter was my timing chip. I had just sheared the shoelace that was tying it on.
Did you shear any of your skin too?
No. Oh, okay. Actually, I got a little bit of a bruise on my hip, but that was about it.
Good. What caused the crash?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Happened fast?
Came around the last turn at the harbor side of the convention center down there. And like I said, I don't know if I put a skate down wrong or just missed rhythm when I was trying to speed back up after going around the turn, but I just went down.
Down you go.
Now, is this a leisurely skate for you? Are you pumping this as hard as you can go?
For me, it's a leisurely skate.
Okay.
Which is
26 miles a long way.
Yeah.
It is.
Even on anything with wheels that you're propelling, it's a long way.
Right.
It's a long way. My time this year was 2 hours and 14 minutes and 30 seconds.
That sounds good.
That's the unofficial time. That's when my friend and I crossed the first time.
Mm-hmm.
My official timing chip time, after I went back through the barriers.
You found it?
And got back and got my chip and crossed the line again at 2:21:07.
So took you 5 or 6 minutes then.
Yeah, about 7 minutes to find my chip and get back across.
What went through your mind during the race? I mean, did you have high points, low points, worried times, fatigue times? What are some of your memories of? A lot of times when we finish something like this, we go, wow, that was great. You know, just because you finished, you're relieved. And you think back of it fondly. Do you remember any really tough stretches?
The first, I want to say, about almost 13 miles, the road is kind of rough. And you get little tiny stretches of 100 yards or so where they've repaved the road and it's just smooth as silk, and it's so nice. You speed up a little bit when you get to that, because you're not rattling anymore, and then you get back to the rattle. Oh man, quit teasing me.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it?
But yeah,
how about your hips, ankles, knees, and muscles, things?
Muscles get to aching a little bit. There's two big hills on the course, Lemon Drop Hill, which is at the kind of right before you get off of London Road onto I-35. That's called Lemon Drop Hill. And then the other big hill is the exit ramp off of the freeway up onto Fifth Avenue West. And those are killers.
Those are buggers, huh? And they're toward the end of the race, too.
Yep, the exit ramp is about mile 25, and the other one is mile 22 or so.
Do you do any drafting? I see a lot of the elites,
the elites definitely do. This year, my friend and I did
a
little bit of drafting. I told him, if you're coming back to skate with me, you're going to be pulling me up those hills.
That away. How did you train for it?
I try to skate the Mesabi Trail as much as I can.
Okay.
And it's a really...
2-3 times a week? 4 times a week?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
Whether or not the weather and my work schedule permit that is another tale entirely.
So is the trail conditions similar to the road conditions?
I think the trail is better.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
So plus, so I'm thinking up to, if you go up to Marble and back, that's 40 miles. So what would you do, go to Taconite or?
Usually, because just moved to Marble and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you come back and back?
I've realized that I cannot skate out of Marble because there's really big hills down in either direction.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned earlier, flat's fine, uphill's fine, but trying to go downhill
is... Well, you have trouble too. Well, I'm glad to know that.
It's not just
you. Because I thought it was just me and clutzy old me.
No, I cannot skate out of Marble because it's too steep downhill.
Hmm.
So I have been going to Taconite and starting there.
Well, there's that steep hill going out of Taconite too.
I start on the other side of that.
Good for you. Gosh, that's
and,
a bug. And at the bottom of that hill's no fun either. I mean, you could end up in the bog.
So Taconite to where the trail crosses the Coleraine cutoff, Highway 61, and back gets me a half marathon, 13 miles.
All right. So was it pretty much a piece of cake in terms of your conditioning? You feel like you were prepared for it?
I think I was prepared for it. I put in 48 miles a couple weeks beforehand and then took a break, said I'm done for now.
Okay.
And rested up.
Do it next year?
Absolutely. I'm already signed up.
Good. Do you ski in the winter?
I actually just got back into it last winter. A friend of mine invited me out to go cross-country skiing, and my husband finally got me out on downhill skis this last winter for the first time in my life.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay.
So that was an interesting experience.
Okay. Thanks, Melissa.
No problem.
Yeah,
thanks for having
Melissa
me.
Power. She was in her third inline marathon at the Grandma's Inline Marathon on September 19th, sharing her experience with us this morning on the sports page. Sports page on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, independent community radio for northern Minnesota. I'm Scott Hall with Chad Hotfed, and Fred Friedman said, hey, did you forget about me? I said, no way, not today.
Are you in Carl Pavano?
Oh, gee, Fred. Hey, Fred, you ever
when
been
you're below the hill in Duluth, you don't get you guys. Above the hill, you get you guys.
All right. No, it wasn't Carl Pavano. Fred, you ever been on inline skates?
No.
Oh,
my sons have them. I have not been on inline.
Well, I've been on a couple times, and I'm not going to do it again.
That's the dream of emergency rooms, isn't that? Isn't that like motorcycles?
Well, in my case, it would be. That's what I found out. I hit the road a couple times, and I thought, you know, I'm too old for this. And broken bones and all that. Hey, Fred.
I don't care about inline skates.
You mentioned.
I care about the Twins pitching and hitting.
Go Tigers!
Melissa, I heard go Tigers in the background.
That was Melissa, yeah. You're a Tigers fan, Melissa?
I am from the Detroit area, so I got to be a Tigers
boy.
Fan.
Well, everybody's from the Detroit area, but nobody lives in the Detroit area.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So the best Middle Eastern food in the world, right, Melissa?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, there's Fred.
No about that. Yeah.
Before we get into the Twins, the Vikings, and all that stuff, on this date, October 1st, 1933... A meaningless game. It was a meaningless game. I'm not exaggerating. The Yankees beat the Red Sox 6-5. Who was the winning pitcher?
George Herman Ruth.
You got it. Babe Ruth pitched the complete game. 9 innings, 12 hits, 5 earned runs.
He was the man. Greatest player ever played baseball. Second place isn't even close.
Okay.
Not only was he a great hitter, a great pitcher.
Okay, if you're so smart.
Yeah.
On this day in 1950, who became the first Phillies pitcher since 1917 to win 20 games?
Jim Constante.
No.
Robin Roberts.
Yes, Robin Roberts. Okay, who was the Philly before him 33 years earlier was the last Philly to win 20?
Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Correct. Okay, you passed.
What do you guys think? Melissa, what do you think of me? Chad, what do you think of me knowing that stuff?
I don't know how that stuff can be swirling around inside your head and come out.
Not only was Grover Cleveland Alexander win as many games in the National League as anybody in history, he and Christy Mathewson are tied, but he did it as an epileptic who was not controlled by seizure medicine, and he did it by the only medicine he took was